Welcome to All Things Collected, brought to you by the Journal of Antiques and Collectibles, a monthly magazine for dealers, collectors, and enthusiasts of antique collectibles. I'm your host, Erica Lohm. Today's episode is dedicated to the market value of fame, at least when it comes to celebrity autographs. But before we get started, let's catch up on what's happening in the world of antiques and collectibles. For comic book lovers, Heritage's upcoming comics and comic art auction, scheduled for July 9th through 12th in Dallas, will be a supersized event with the first issues of milestone titles, debut appearances of beloved and immortal superheroes, and a comic book from the days before there were such things. This more than 1,300 lot 3-day auction has something for every comic collector. Of particular interest is a DC Comics title predating the first appearance of Superman by 3 years. New Fun No. 5 is the fifth issue of the first title that collected all new stories featuring characters created specifically for a single title. New Fun was oversized and overstuffed with stories, among them the ongoing adventures of Texas Ranger Jack Wood, the first recurring hero in the comics company's stable. This copy of self-proclaimed Big Comic magazine is notable for countless reasons, among them its condition, 85 years old, yet its pages show only light wear. This hard-to-come-by early days landmark in the FNVF condition is expected to bring in over $8,000. We look forward to sharing the gavel down price in a future edition. For more information, go to ha.com. In other news, the Mary Selby Botanical Gardens downtown Sarasota campus will showcase legendary pop artist Roy Lichtenstein's screen prints based on Monet's world-famous paintings of water lilies and haystacks. Lichtenstein's rarely seen water lilies with reflections provides an unexpected homage to a staple of the public imagination, Claude Monet's paintings of his garden and home. Lichtenstein, who made his name reinterpreting both pop culture and the work of established artists, used screen printing to create his water lily series, choosing to print on metal and introduce reflections into his work. The series will be on view in the Museum of Botany and the Arts, along with photographs of Lichtenstein at work and at home. The outdoor spaces at Selby Gardens will be transformed through a pop art lens into Monet's famed gardens at Giverny. Selby Gardens will also present Lichtenstein and Monet-themed lectures, performances, family programs, special tours, school curricula, and additional programs. Roy Lichtenstein, Monet's Garden Goes Pop, will be on view exclusively at Selby Gardens in Sarasota, Florida, from February 14th through June 27th, 2021. For more information, visit selby.org. In the past month, protests throughout America and around the world have sprung up in support of racial justice and equity, sparked by the horrific killings of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and others. The National Trust stands committed to support this fight for justice and believes that Black Lives Matter, Black History Matters, and that historic preservation has a powerful role to play in telling the full story of our often difficult history. A critically important part of this work is elevating and preserving the enormous and important contributions that African Americans have made to our nation and carrying that profound legacy forward through places of truth, justice, and reconciliation. As such, the National Trust has publicly announced its support for the removal of Confederate monuments from public spaces. In a statement, they said, quote, "While some have suggested that removal may result in erasing history, we believe that removal may be necessary to achieve the greater good of ensuring racial justice and equality. And their history needs not end with their removal. We support relocation of these monuments to museums or other places where they may be preserved so that their history as elements of Jim Crow and racial injustice can be recognized and interpreted," end quote. And 3 years after its discovery in the home of a Tennessee family, a nearly full 1948 Bowman baseball box is coming back on the market. The box, containing 19 of the 24 wax packs, initially sold for $521,180 through Mile High Card Company in 2017, an average of $27,430 per pack and $5,486 per card. No surviving unopened 1948 Bowman baseball pack has been previously known to exist, and none have been uncovered in the 3 years since. The collection of 1948 Bowman boxes originated with a family that operated one of the most prominent non-sports trading card companies of its time, and even dabbled in the baseball card market. Company executives routinely examined products of their competitors for research purposes and then put them in storage. Many were stored in vintage cardboard beer cases, which is how the find got its moniker. Nearly all of the packs and boxes hadn't been handled in decades and remained in virtually pristine condition. The complete set includes just 48 cards, but holds what are considered the rookie cards of Stan Musial, Yogi Berra, Bob Feller, Warren Spahn, Ralph Kiner, and Phil Rizzuto, among others. We look forward to sharing what this collection sells for in a future edition, or you can sign up at journalofantiques.com to receive our free post-press update with more marketplace news delivered twice a month to your inbox. And we're back, looking at the price of celebrity and the value of fame. We start with this month's Publisher's Corner by Journal of Antiques publisher Maxine Carter-Lohm.
Probably one of the most famous signatures of all time is that of John Hancock, a signer of the Declaration of Independence whose name has become synonymous with the word autograph. When asked why he signed his name so big in comparison to the other delegates, it has been said that Hancock replied, "so that the fat old king could read it without his spectacles." Today, the signature collectibles market is one of the hottest growing segments, in part because anything you love or collect that is signed by the maker or the subject makes that item that much more valuable, at least to the owner. And that goes across the board. Books signed by the author, photos signed by the subject, handwritten correspondence and diaries, signatures on historical documents, an artist's signature, a maker's mark, signed sports memorabilia. That personal value, however, does not always translate into monetary value in a marketplace where signatures are bought and sold as a commodity exchange. On the market, a signature is only as valuable as the subject, which calls into consideration a whole host of other factors related to type and level of fame, historical significance, desirability, accessibility, and how and when the signature was obtained. This is a fluid market, and as they say on Project Runway, one day you're in, and the next day you're out. Mortality is another significant factor in determining value. How long did the subject live, or are they still living? When in their lifetime was this item signed? How will they be remembered by history? While value may be easier to ascertain for signed historical documents and handwritten manuscripts, when it comes to Hollywood, athletes, artists, musicians, politicians, and others of contemporary public fame or notoriety, signature values fluctuate over time and across all types of items. When it comes to signed sports memorabilia, values are all over the map. For example, a signature on a game-worn used item will generally be worth more than a signature by the same subject on a photo or unrelated item or at an unrelated time. In the hierarchy of value, factors such as the game, outcome, and the role of the subject played in its outcome also come into consideration. Signed memorabilia from fallen from grace athletes, even if signed during their prime, may never be worth what one hoped for at one time. And retired athletes, the time is forgotten, may have value as part of a bigger collection, for example, team collections, but less as a standalone item. And then there are the big two, authenticity and condition, factors that can greatly affect value and are common denominators across the signature collectibles market. This is a buyer's beware marketplace, especially online where hand-signed can be a misleading representation of signature authenticity. Outright forgeries, auto pen signatures mistakenly identified as by hand, and proxy signatures are common in the autograph market, especially when items are purchased on the internet from an unknown source. If you obtain a signature from the subject directly, it is important to make a note of when and where the personal exchange took place. In today's selfie world, a picture capturing the moment can make the interaction even more valuable and special. Documented provenance not only adds value, but in some states is required should the signed item ever be sold. If you are purchasing an autographed item or signed document from a third-party source, look for a certificate of authenticity from a reputable dealer or third-party authentication service if you plan to spend any real money. And do your research. There are many online search resources that can help you match signatures and give you a guesstimate of value. Talk to anyone who has ever met someone famous and had something signed, and they'll be happy to share their story. As a culture, we have an unending interest in celebrity and who we've met on the street, at the stage door, at an event, in a restaurant, outside the stadium. In a pre-selfie world, their signature was the takeaway, proof that a connection had been made. Yet they can't help but asking, how much do you think it's worth? Whether they'd ever sell it or not. That is, unfortunately, human nature, the state of the market, and the price of celebrity on display every day. From this month's issue, we bring you Can I Have Your Autograph? By Maxine Carter Loam, publisher. Since ancient times, a man's ability to sign his name separated him from the masses and marked him as a member of the ruling class. A man's signature entitled him to make decisions that affected people, property, and wealth, marking him someone of substantial importance in his community. His unique signet ring seal in wax or signature, although not as we know it today, on a document was a valuable commodity and coveted and preserved as such. Piracy across Europe during the Renaissance meant more people of different classes were now able to read, write, and sign their names. It is believed that the hobby of collecting autographs can be traced back to this era. An Alba Amicorum, Latin for books of friendship, tracing back to the mid-1500s. Alba Amicorums are considered the world's first autograph albums. Wealthy travelers touring Europe asked those they met along the way to sign specially made books as a way to establish and solidify personal and professional relationships. They were particularly popular among the children of Northern European nobility as they went out into the world to establish themselves socially and visit the time's most influential cities, universities, and educators. A man's Alba Amicorum was his calling card, as the signatures in his album represented his social standing when making new introductions. They were also used to share favorite songs, reveal crushes, offer advice, share opinions, and offer comments on other people's entries. One could say they were the Facebook of their time. During the Enlightenment, signatures from great historical figures and noted men of science and letters were in high demand among the European intelligentsia, who wanted to preserve history and own something connected to someone they admired, written in their own hand. In 1789, there was enough interest in collecting that the first book offering autograph facsimiles was printed, entitled British Autograph. For the auction houses of the day, brokering the sale of these types of documents was a natural extension of their business, and by the mid-1800s, many were doing a brisk trade in the financial exchange of a man's signature. Here in America during the Victorian era, widespread literacy and technological advances in communicating news from far and wide thrust musicians and athletes, writers, actors, and other notable figures of the day into the public limelight, creating the culture of what we now refer to as fame and celebrity. These public figures became highly sought after for their autographs among fans and collectors of all ages and social classes, and the public was showing a willingness to pay for what they could not obtain in person. A retail shop in New York was opened in 1887 by Walter R. Benjamin that sold manuscripts and autographs. It is believed to be the first such shop in the U.S. He advertised to just come to them instead of hounding someone for the autograph request that they very well may not grant. By the 20th century, autographs became so popular that dedicated auction houses sprang up to service this specific market. Fast forward to today, when autographs are big business and a readily exchanged commodity. Where once an artfully cursive signature on a calling card, a historic document, or a piece of personal correspondence was the hoped-for item from an admired or notable source, today, anything goes, which has greatly changed the dynamics between celebrities and their fans and how autographs are exchanged. When it comes to public celebrities, signing autographs has always been a part of the job, a way to thank the fans and make a more personal collection, at least as far as the fan or collector was concerned. While many were and continue to be willing to sign something for a passing fan and at an event, things started changing with regard to this interaction when the intent changed and autographs went from personally cherished items to a commodity on the open market with an established value. The desire to control the commercialization of their name, now referred to as their brand, combined with fan aggressiveness and the security concerns that surround fame, keep celebrities today distant from their fans and the random encounters for signing that form the core of many mid-20th century autograph collections. The fewer autographs in circulation for a big-name celebrity, the more value they can command on the market, especially those obtained in person and with proof of authenticity, which leaves many celebrities asking why others should profit from their name and fame and not them. This question has led many to change their policies around signing. This includes personalizing their signatures to reduce the resale value, commanding a signing fee, and generally refusing to sign. For those unable to get an autograph in person through a chance encounter, the next best thing is a signing event, which today has turned into big business, not only for A-list celebrities for whom access commands big bucks, but for those on the ascendancy and waning days of their career. From tech conferences to Comic-Cons, Hall of Fame weekends, fan days, celebrity auctions, and book signings, notable public personalities from all walks of fame can make a side hustle, or sometimes their livelihood, off autograph signing events. The public continues to have a fascination with meeting someone they admire or remember fondly from their past, and receiving a signed memento as a souvenir and proof of the exchange. However, how these celebrities will sign and what they'll sign is up to them and can greatly affect resale value, which of course is their intent. Auction houses continue to play an active role in the autograph market at both the low and high end. At the high end, auction houses such as Cowan's, Swan, Heritage Auctions, and Bonham, among others, regularly include signed historic documents, personal correspondence, and signed memorabilia at their specialty auctions. You also have online dealer and auction sites that specialize in all types of signed items. For collectors and fans willing to make an investment in something they want, reputable auction houses that provide a certificate of authenticity are the next best thing to a personal signing. At the other end of the market are the online auction houses that seem to be able to get anything you want and offer a hand-signed guarantee, which is not the same thing as a certificate of authenticity. All over the internet, one can find autographed items, but it's buyers beware. In sports, it was common practice for a clubhouse attendant to sign baseballs on behalf of a star player, just to save him time. These are commonly referred to as clubhouse signatures. In other fields, especially entertainment, fans would write to obtain autographs of their favorite stars on pictures or letters. It was common practice to send out items with pre-printed signatures or an original signature signed by one of the star's staff members. These are commonly referred to as secretarial signatures. Finally, it was common practice for politicians and business people to have their actual signature applied to the paper with a mechanical device known as an autopen. These mimic the signatures of the person perfectly and can be difficult to determine without knowledge. While some collect autographs as a hobby and some through chance encounters, others look to acquire something that, when framed or displayed, becomes a piece of art or a decorative object, as well as a great conversation starter. Items such as framed, signed photos, instruments, and sports memorabilia are often sold at a premium over their fair market value for their novelty and artful presentation, and may or may not come with a certificate of authenticity. Whether knowingly or unwittingly, misrepresented signed items are being sold every day to fans and collectors, so it is important to know what you are buying and to do your homework. If you did not witness the signing, be smart. Rely on the representation of the seller, the judgment of a qualified authenticator, or your own knowledge. To determine value, consult Sanders' autograph price guide and search sites such as Invaluable and RR Auction for recent sale prices. To buy with confidence, contact a PATA dealer and get a certificate of authenticity from a reputable and recognized authenticator. Not looking to sell? Then enjoy what you have and the story behind it, and it will remain priceless.
And we're back, sharing the latest gavel down prices on some of the most interesting items coming to the market. In keeping with this edition's theme, here are some record-breaking signed collectibles from just the last few months. Hundreds of orchestral arrangements owned by the late singer Judy Garland sold for $30,599 at an auction held February 27th by Nate D. Sanders Auctions in Los Angeles. The orchestral arrangements included classics such as Over the Rainbow, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, Judy at the Palace, and I'm Always Chasing Rainbows. The arrangements were primarily used by Garland for the Judy Garland Show, which ran from 1963 to 1964, and were contained in a large black trunk stamped with her name. The price is inclusive of the buyer's premium. A 1947 Joe DiMaggio World Series Game 5 worn and signed New York Yankees jersey sold for $372,000 at Heritage Auctions' February Winter Platinum Night Sports Collectibles Auction. This road gray flannel beauty was worn during Game 5 of the now famous 7th Big Apple Subway Series. The garment included Mears paperwork photographically linking the garment to the opening innings of Game 5 on October 4, 1947 at Ebbets Field, a contest which saw the Yankee Clippers' fifth inning solo shot make the difference in a 2-1 Yankees victory to step within a single game of the franchise's 11th World Championship. For reasons known only to DiMaggio himself, he had changed jerseys by the time he victimized Bums ace Rex Barney with that fifth inning long ball. And nowhere else in the series or in subsequent seasons do we find the Hall of Fame center fielder wearing this garment, capping its full service to baseball royalty at four innings maximum. One suspects that the jersey felt either uncomfortable or unlucky to DiMaggio, but the unique shape of the letters W and R in New York, and the particular placement of the Y in relation to the button nearest to it, are unmistakable in early game footage, establishing this as one of a literal handful of unaltered photo-matched Joe DiMaggio gamers. The ESPN documentary The Last Dance has really spiked interest in Michael Jordan memorabilia. Jordan's 1986-87 Fleer rookie baseball card remains one of the most coveted cards over the past 40 years. And one card with an autograph of MJ just set a record, fetching $125,000 on eBay this past May. The card, a Jordan rookie with an autograph graded 8.5 out of 10 by Beckett Grading Services, was part of a 2006-2007 Fleer buyback. The card was one of 23 bought on the secondary market by Upper Deck about 15 years ago, according to Sports Collectors Daily. They were then autographed by the NBA great and were randomly inserted into packs of the Fleer set to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the iconic 86-87 set. Speaking of Michael Jordan, a pair of game-worn Air Jordan 1s from 1985 signed by the NBA legend broke another record in May, selling for $560,000 at an online Sotheby's auction in May. The red, white, and black Nike Air Jordan 1s are the same color scheme as the Chicago Bulls uniform and sport Jordan's autograph in black ink on an upper red leather panel. The sneaker is part of a signature line that Nike created for Jordan to persuade him to sign a sneaker deal with the sportswear company, Sotheby's said. The sale took place on the same day as ESPN aired the finale of The Last Dance, a 10-part documentary about Jordan's career. To view the entire May-June issue of Signature Collectibles, visit journalofantiques.com, where you will also find past issues, other articles of interest, a calendar of upcoming shows and auctions, antique shops to visit around the country, and the value of what is recently sold at auction. While there, you can also subscribe to receive our publication in print, and sign up to receive our bi-monthly free e-newsletter, Post Press Update. The Journal of Antiques and Collectibles is published by Weathervane Enterprises, Inc. Thank you for listening to All Things Collected.